For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's Ephesians 2:10. The actual word that's used for handiwork in the Greek manuscript is poema. And that's where we get our English word poem. Now stop and think about that. The Creator of the universe created you and me like a poet sits and fashions and shapes and molds thoughts and words and language to create a work of art, a masterpiece. So let's go back and hear that verse again with that in mind. For we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's true. God doesn't make junk. But we don't arrive on the planet in that condition, so how does it happen?
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So Tommy has just prayed an interesting prayer. He's asked God to do whatever it takes to make Him into the image of Jesus. Whatever it takes. Now that type of honest prayer is one of the most dangerous prayers that a Christian can utter. And it is also one of the most Christ-like. What Tommy has prayed sounds a lot like Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. Opening our lives to God in such a manner won't leave us the same as we were before we prayed that prayer. Tommy has prayed to see the fulfillment of God's word that He is a masterpiece. The prayer he prayed is the first step. But what comes next?
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. It's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running. I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 8 lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right.
So here's a question for you. If you were to be so bold to echo Tommy's prayer for God to do whatever it takes to make you into His masterpiece, that image of Jesus, what would God chisel first in your life? Yes, we would all like for it to be abs, but what would God chisel first in your life? The chiseling process that Tommy is about to begin is one that every believer goes through, believe it or not. Every believer goes through the chiseling process. It's called sanctification. Now, that's a word that many believers struggle with, and some of us never quite understand it. And yet, every believer experiences sanctification to the degree that his free will allow him. Many of us confuse sanctification with salvation. The greatest gift that God gives to us is salvation in Jesus Christ, forgiveness for our sins, and an assured place with Him in eternity. And when we accept God's gift, we have eternal life, and nothing will ever take it away from us. That's Ephesians 2:8. That's salvation. But God doesn't expect us to just sit back and cruise through the rest of our lives. God expects that salvation will be worked out in us for the rest of our days. The longer we live as followers of Jesus, the more our lives should look like His because of God's work in us and through us. It can seem as though God is using a chisel and a hammer to chip away and shape our lives so that we can become the people God longs for, true followers of Christ. And this chipping away and shaping is known as the process of sanctification. Our sanctification in Christ, to whatever degree we allow, is a part of our walk with Christ, and we need to pay attention to it. Sometimes this process of becoming more and more like Christ in every area of our lives is pretty challenging. And sometimes it's painful. Let's face it, a lot of times it's painful. Because we still struggle with issues like anger and pride and jealousy and bitterness. And while those sins are indeed forgiven because of what Christ did for us on the cross, the effects and consequences of those sins remain. And that's why God wants us to deal with them constructively.
Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust?
Time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust?
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think it's supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
That's
know.
That's just that you never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Did you hear what God says? We cannot put our relationship with Him on hold. We are either moving towards Him or we are moving away from Him. That's a hard truth to accept. We are never standing still with God. We are going in one direction or another. But the hardness of that truth doesn't make it any less true. So I guess you could say that salvation in Jesus is not by works. That's Ephesians 2:8. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But if it's not by works, it is for works. Good works is not the source of our relationship with Christ, but it is the goal of our relationship with Christ. The chiseling metaphor can be played out further if we take a look at verses 12 and 13 from Philippians. Paul wrote this to the church at Philippi. You should simply keep on living in responsive obedience. Responsive obedience, that's an active term, not passive, active. Keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God, because that energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you. And God Himself is willing and working at what will give Him the most pleasure and give us the best life. Now, some scholars have said that too often people approach sanctification at one of two extremes, quietism, like the English word quiet, or pietism. Quietism places all of the responsibility on God, God's role in the process, and it excludes any responsibility or involvement from the individual. In quietism, the individual takes a step back and lets God do it. Now that is the extreme, and it sounds extreme, but stop and think. How many of us come to worship and find our seat, have a seat, sit down, sit back, and wait for God to do something? Or worse yet, wait for God to entertain us? How many of us base our entire experience of Scripture on coming to a class and listening to what someone else thinks? Now, there's nothing wrong with Bible classes, don't get me wrong. But that doesn't alleviate our responsibility for going into Scripture ourselves and knowing for ourselves what God says to us through His Word. Now the other end, other extreme, pietism, those who subscribe to that can be kind of aggressive in their quest for moral purity and sound doctrine. And it can lead to a life much like the Pharisees. And if you remember, the Pharisees were a group that Jesus was constantly rebuking and reprimanding and trying to teach a better way. The Pharisees were drenched in legalism and judgment. And the pietist is often marked by very rigid lines. Now, this passage that I just read from Philippians suggests that the best place is not either extreme, but in the middle. Because it's here that both God and the believer can work together to fulfill the purpose and the pleasure of God's intended relationship with us. He will continue to chisel us as believers. And we must continue to take responsibility by doing the good works that God has already set out for us to do.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, but that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay.
I'm
sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them, and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character when you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my
ways. Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
Sister... I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there.
What could Tommy possibly be trying to prepare God for? His disinterest? His disbelief? Or perhaps his overwhelming burden of guilt?
Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there is this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach your back pocket.
What?
Reach your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I just went, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach your back pocket. You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me, even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times? Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me, then use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too.
And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought him into life thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God.
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
You are God's masterpiece. Kingswood United Methodist Church is God's masterpiece. We can never deserve what God has done for us. We can never earn what God will do and is doing for us. And we can never fail to such a degree that God will abandon us if we truly seek to return. In a word, it's called grace. And it's offered to us through the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. So I challenge you today, as we stand at the threshold, at the gate of a new year, to consider carefully your response to the news that you are God's masterpiece. You always have the option of rejection because God has given you free will. Keep in mind, you cannot stand still with God. You are either moving towards Him or you are moving away from Him. Perhaps your answer today is salvation. A need to establish a relationship with Christ. And if that's the case, when you have the opportunity later, let me know, because there are so many people here who would be willing and very happy to help you find your way. Probably most of us here today have accepted the gift of salvation, and our answer has to do with sanctification. Maybe you're ready to pray the prayer, God, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. But for every one of us in this room, regardless of where we are, we can complete this sentence prayer. God, the thing I most need to tell you today is whatever it is for you. And we are going to take the time now to tell God whatever that thing is. You can come to the front and use the kneeling benches. You can kneel where you are. You can find a quiet corner in the sanctuary. You can sit where you are. You can stand and lift your hands. Whatever your prayer posture is, whatever gets you closer to God, let's take the time to tell God the one thing that we need to for Him to hear today. Maybe you have a friend here, and you need to go and meet that friend, and the two of you come and pray together. Maybe it's a family member. Pray for yourselves. Pray for your friends, for your family, and pray for Kingswood. Because we all stand at the gate of a year in which what lies ahead is unknown. Will you pray with me?